We're holding on page Ches in Yerushalmi Brachos, about the middle of the narrow lines, so middle of Ois Chaf Aleph. Last time we started learning, so the Gemara in general has been talking about the idea that Hashem is always close to us wherever we are, even though you would think that Hashem is way up in the heavens, far, far above us, but really Hashem is close to us wherever we want, the opposite being the case with idols, where people think that they're very close to them, but really they don't pay attention. So we started saying that Rabbi Yudan quoted in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak four examples of this kind of idea, all of them based on the idea that you'll have a person who has a patron, which is like the English word patron, meaning, in other words, somebody who he has a relationship. They have this type of thing in Roman society over there. You have this powerful person, this politically connected person or whatever. You'd give him money for his political campaigns. You'd give him votes. You'd give him service or whatever. And in return, the idea would be that he'd stand up for you. He'd represent you in court if you needed it and help you in various other ways. So we started saying that there's four examples where four different kinds of situations where a person might be in trouble and need his patron to come through for him, and in the end, he doesn't. On the other hand, Hashem does. The first example was we had how Moshe was saved from Pharaoh's sword. So now the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yudan b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak shita oichri. Now Rabbi Yudan continues in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak with a different example of this kind of thing. Bus of Adam Yeshle Patron. Again, starting with a bus of Adam has a human, a politically connected person who is his patron, who is his, he's the person that he figures he can depend on to help him in a jam. Omrim lai harei nitpas ben beischa. So if they tell him, page ches in Yerushalmi Brachos. Yeah, what it is after the Bavli section of Brachos, after that you have a Yerushalmi section. So a person has a patron. If one day they tell the patron, a member of your household has been arrested, because the client is supposed to be like a member of the household. And the patron says, okay, I'll stand up for him. Or we said the other possibility is miskayim olav could be the other way around, that the client says about the patron, I trust him, I trust that I'll come through for me. Eventually they tell him he's going out to be judged. And still he says, I'll stand up for him. Eventually they tell the patron, the guy's been thrown in the water. So where is he? He's drowning in the water. And where is his patron? Never came through for him in the end. But Hashem saved Yonah from the belly of the fish. So he was thrown into the water, and still Hashem stuck up for him and saved him. As we find that Hashem spoke to the fish and it spat out Yonah onto the dry land. So first you have that Hashem prepared the fish to swallow him up so he doesn't drown, and then afterwards that he didn't stay in there forever, that Hashem told him to spit him out. A third example, Rabbi Yudan b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak Amar b'shita oichri. Here's a third example. Had a boss of Adam Yeshle patron. Omrim le nitpas ben beischa. They tell him a member of your household has been arrested. Amalei harayni miskayim tachtov. So here, for some reason, you have tachtov instead of olav. It seems to amount to the same thing, that I'll stand up for him. In other words, I'll stand in his place. He's going out to be sentenced. Then they tell him the guy's been thrown into the fire. Again, where's the guy? Where's his patron? After all, the patron didn't even bother doing anything, or he did, and he wasn't successful in saving the guy. He saved the Hanani Mishael Mazaria from the fire. Thus, you have the pasuk describing Onin Nebuchadnezzar v'Omar. Nebuchadnezzar spoke up and said, after we saw how they were in the fire and they weren't harmed at all, he says, "Brich alekahin di Shadrach Meshach va'Abed Negoi v'Gemer." Blessed is the God of Shadrach Meshach and Abed Negoi, which in the pesukim over there you have when they were first brought to Nebuchadnezzar's palace, they were renamed with Babylonian names, and those were their names. So he goes on to say in the pasuk that nobody else could possibly save people like that. So he recognized, in other words, what the Gemara is saying over here, that Hashem is much better than a human patron, that he'll actually stand up for you.
Did that change his life?
Well, I mean, he still remained the same Rosh and Nebuchadnezzar. At the moment there, he said, you know, he blessed Hashem, and he sent out a letter to his whole kingdom informing them of what happened. But yeah, he stayed the same Rosh. Actually, the Gemara says actually that when Nebuchadnezzar started speaking over there, he was about to say such beautiful praises of Hashem that it would have even outshone David. So Malach came and slapped him on the mouth, and he stopped speaking. One cute verse they have on that actually is, so Bapashtus, you would say, okay, you know, you don't want a Rosh like Nebuchadnezzar to outshine David, but they say a cute verse on it, that David throughout his life was slapped on the mouth all the time. He went through tremendous hardships throughout his life, and still he's always singing to the Eibishter. So now Hashem is saying to Nebuchadnezzar, let's see if you're made out of the same stuff as he is. After you're slapped, do you still have the capability of singing to me? And no, he doesn't, showing that he's nothing even beginning to reach anything of David. Okay. Yeah, that's true. The fourth example, Rabbi Yudan b'shem Rabbi Yitzchak Amar b'shita oichri, harei basav adam yesh lepatron b'cholah. Again, you have the whole thing with the patron and where the guy is in increasing trouble. Ad harei mushlach l'chayus. Eventually, the news comes that the guy's been thrown to the wild animals, and nothing happened. It didn't do him any good to have this patron. But Hashem saved Daniel from the lion's den. Thus you have the pasuk that Daniel says to Dariush, Eloki shalach malach, my God sent a malach, usagar pumar yavasa, and he closed up the mouths of the lions so they didn't harm me. So we have these four examples where Hashem stands up for a person when he's in trouble. One of the Mefoshim on Yerushalmi points out, you have a few examples of all four misaspacing. You have skilla, which is being devoured by wild animals, where they knock the person down first, which is a semblance of skilla. Srefa, as in Hanani Mishael Vazalu with fire. Hereg, as in Moshe Rabbeinu in Paris court. And Chenek, as in drowning in the water, and Hashem saved people from all four of them. Then the Gemara continues, Rabbi Yudan Omer Mishum Dideh. Now Rabbi Yudan on his own now continues with more on this topic. Until now, he was quoting in the name of Rabbi Yitzchak these four examples. Now he has his own thing to say about it. Bas of Adam Yeshle Patron. Again, a Bas of Adam has this patron who he has this mutual relationship with. Im Bas Leit Sara. But still, if the client is in trouble, Ein a Nichnas Etzle Pisin. He can't just barge into the patron's house and ask for help. El Above Omed Leit Pischei Shal Patron. He comes and stands by the entrance of the patron's mansion. V'kodei La'avdei La'ben Bei. So he calls for one of the guy's servants or one of the members of his household. And then the messenger, the servant, or whoever comes and tells the master of the house, Ish pointy, Omid Pesach Chatzercha, so and so is standing by the door of your chotzer. Shema Machnisiv, Shema Manichai. Now the patron might decide to let him in, or he might decide, you know what, I can't be bothered. Avala Kadosh Baruch Hu, ain't a Cain. Hashem is not like that. In Basal, Adam Tzara, when trouble comes on a person, lo yitzaveach, lo michol, lo the Gavriel, he shouldn't be crying out to Michal or Gavriel to help him, or any other malach. He should cry out to me directly, to Hashem, and I will answer him right away. Thus the pasuk says, anybody who calls out in the name of Hashem will be saved. Literally, yimolit means like to escape the trouble. There is, by the way, based on this Yerushalmi, is one of the interesting sources that the poskim discuss the question. Now, we have a number of tefillahs where we do seem to appeal to malachim or things like that. We have machnisei rachamim, for example, in slichas. We have shloshes, the piyut shloshes remidus that we say in slichas on Erev Rosh Hashanah. We have a few such examples. Malachei rachamim meshor se elyon, which we also say in one of the slichas before Rosh Hashanah. So what's going on with that? And in fact, there were poskim who were against that and said we shouldn't say them, or that we should change the wording of it. With that said, though, and one of the things is based on this Gemara that we see. You're not supposed to be talking to Michal or Gabriel or the Shlosh Asir Midyas or whatever. On the other hand, there are many poskim who find justification for it. And for example, the Tzemach Tzedek talks about it in Shodosh Mitzvah Tfilah, I think, and says that the Rebbe brings in a footnote over there in Lakutim and Hogim for Ashani Yom Kippur, that the vote is we're not saying Chas V'Shalom they have independent power. We're asking them to be our shliach, to bring our tefillah to the Eibishter. So therefore, that's not quite the same thing as we're saying over here, and therefore that's fine. So Elamaisa, the minhag olam is that you do that. And of course, that also gets into going and davening by Kivrei Tzadikim and by the oil and by other such places, similar ideas. Even though it says, the fact is, you're saying, in other words, you're You're asking, you have a different Gemara or Medrash or something that uses the expression that a person should ask that they should be mechazik him. In effect, what you're doing is you're asking Michal or Gavriel or Malachi Rachman, Mishael, say, oh, you know, whatever, to help you along with this, to strengthen you in order that you have more to come to the Eibishter with. So not that you need to use them like you can't talk to Hashem directly, but rather like they're helping you out with that and making you and your tefillah more acceptable to the Eibishter. What? And the same thing goes with tzaddikim, yeah. Next. Omer Pinchas, Uv Dahava B'Rav. Here's an example of this. One time happened with Rav, Dahava Oyo Mechamsa de Tveria. He was coming in from Chamsa, from the hot springs of Tveria, but Pashtus, he was going to Tveria itself. Pogin Bey Raymori, some Romans met up with him. Amrinle Min De Man At. They ask him, who do you belong to? Like what, who is your patron or who's your whatever? Like otherwise they're going to demand taxes of him or worse. Amalon Mindus Sufyanus. So he says to them, I belong to Sufyanus, which is the name of a Roman, of a local Roman governor or general or what have you. Upanina. And so they let him go. They didn't harass him or whatever. But Ramsha also legabei. In the evening, those soldiers came to the Sufyanus. Amrin lay. They asked him, "Emasai at mekayim ilan yehudoi? How long are you going to be sticking up for these Jews?" Amaloin lama. So he asked him why. What happened? Amrin lay. So they told him, "Paginin v'chad yehudoi. We met up with this Jew. But Amrin lay min deman at. And we asked him, who do you belong to? Amalon de Sufyanus. And he tells us that you belong. That he's part of Sufyanus's group." So therefore, so you, Sufyanus, obviously are sticking up for the Jews. What's going on? So Sufyanus asks him, so what'd you do to him? So they said to him, we let him go. There's a few different explanations. Eitz Yosef brings two possibilities. One is that comes from a word that means taxes. So we remitted him the taxes. We patted him from whatever taxes or tolls he would have normally had to pay because he told us he's one of your people. So we took him at his word. Or the other possibility is dayloi. We didn't do him any favors, but we let him go without harassing him. And for him, that's a favor enough. In the Yerushalmi, you have printed in the Yerushalmi Brachas, you have printed a pirush from the author of Sefer Charedim. He seems to have a different girsa that they said we heard him saying Yehuda. So like we heard him calling like his name is Yehuda or something, and Panin and Yosei, and we let him go. What that has to do, according to that explanation, why hearing him called Yehuda would cause him to let him go? I don't know. He doesn't explain. Anyway, Omerloin. So Sufyanus tells them Yoris Avadtun. Actually, you did well. It's true that he's actually not one of my people. He doesn't have this client-patron relationship or anything like that. But he says, nevertheless, the fact that he attributed himself to my name, that he considered himself one of my people, is reason enough. I consider that an honor, and therefore it's a good thing that you let him go, because it shows that you have derech eretz for me. And it shows that he has derech eretz for me. So therefore, the Gemara now learns a lesson from that. Uma mishu nitla b'bos of adam nitzel. Madach then somebody like Rav, who depended on a boss of adam, and he got saved from bad circumstances. Mishu nitla b'akadosh baruch hu lekoshken. How much more so somebody who attributes himself, who says, I'm one of Hashem's people. Ahu dichtiv. Again, that's the pasuk kol asher yikra. B'shem Hashem yimolid. An interesting thing that comes up in this, by the way, is on the face of it, isn't there a problem, maybe, that saying he's one of Sufyanus' people amounts to saying that he's a goy? And is a yid allowed to do that? Even in a dangerous situation, is a yid allowed to openly say, I am a goy? And poskim say that in general that no, even in a case of pekuach nefesh. However, the answer is here it may amount to that. These goyim may think that he's saying that, but really all he's saying is, in other words, like I'm one of his subjects or something, and therefore it doesn't amount to saying that he's a goy. There was a good deal of discussion about that, for example, about different kinds of things that you are allowed to say in extreme circumstances that they will misunderstand and think that you're saying that I'm a goy when really you're saying nothing of the sort. They give an example, for example, that in Germany in the early 1930s, when the Nazis, Yimach Shemam, were starting to come to power, and if they found a Jew on the street, then he'd be in big trouble. So Rabbonim of that time said, for example, that if they ask you, are you a Jew, are you Yuda, then you can answer Kein Yuda, which in German, that means not a Jew, but the word Kein is also like the word Cain in Lashon Kodesh, which means yes, a Jew. So therefore, like, you're misleading them. There are other examples like that, for example, writing RC on a passport where they take it to mean Roman Catholic, but you have in mind that it means the word Rach. With that said, yes, you have the story with the Rebbetzin, yeah, where in occupied France, where people, they came door to door and asked what religion they belonged to. And she told them Orthodox, and the Rebbe insisted on going down to the police station and making it clear that it's Orthodox Jewish, and so they don't think it's Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox or what have you. That's Lefnim Meshuras Adin, though. That's, but Me'ikar Adin, there are Heterim for such things. So this Gemara would be an example of that. So the RC, you could say that they mean to that to mean the word rak only, like I'm only like I'm only faithful to Hashem or something like that. Yeah, very yeah. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Omer of Alexandri, Uvda Hava Bachad Arfon. It happened once with a certain Arfon, which is a term for a governor or a minister or something like that. To have a Shnei Alexandrus, the guy's name was Alexandrus, but have a koim doyen chad listin. He was judging a certain robber. And he was going to sentence him. Omale Mashimcha. So he asked the criminal, "What's your name?" And the guy says, "Alexandrus." Omale. So now the judge says, "Alexandrus pona Alexandria." Alexandrus is going to exempt Alexander. Alexander is going to exempt Alexander. In other words, because your name is the same as mine, then I'll let you go. Then I'll let you go free. You see what kind of joke justice was in those days. But anyway, Eitz Yosef brings actually from Yalkut Shimoni that the vote was also. That the judge figures, if we do take this guy and hang him, as is usually done to criminals, everybody's going to be saying Alexander is hanging, and they're going to jump to conclusion that it's me, the governor, rather than this criminal. So therefore, he gets away with it. So therefore, we can learn a lesson from it again. Somebody shares the same name as a boss of a dom, and he gets saved, like in this example. So then somebody who has a name like the name of Hashem, how much more so that he'll be saved? How does a person have the same name as Hashem? So Eitz Yosef says, it means, in other words, that we know Hashem is called Rachum, Bachanun, and Sadik, and so forth. So it means, you know, Ma'ata Rach, Mahu Rachum, Ma'ata Heye Rachum, and so forth. So if you act in the way that the Eibishter does, then you can be called by the Eibishter's name. The other possibility is that it just means that you're a Yid, and the Jewish people have the name Hashem embedded in their name, Yisrael. So therefore, we're called by the name of Hashem. Thus, the pasuk says, everybody who calls in the name of Hashem will be saved. Where the word Yikra, we're darshaning now, in this last one of Rabbi Alexandri, he's darshaning not Yikra, will call, but Yikore, who is called. So anybody who's called by the name of Hashem, Yimolet will be saved from trouble. Also, the word Yehuda has Hashem's name in it. That's true. Also, yeah. Continuing on this topic, Rav Pinchas Amar Batarti. Rav Pinchas says two drushes further on this business of contrasting the client-patron relationship between a boss of a dom and versus the relationship that a person has with Hashem. Chode b'shem Rav Ze'era, v'chode b'shem Rav Tanchum Bachaniloi. One of them he said in the name of Rav Ze'era, and the other one in the name of Rav Tanchum Bachaniloi. Rav Pinchas b'shem Rav Ze'era Amar, boss of a dom yeshle patron. So consider, a boss of a dom has this patron who looks out, who's supposed to look out for him. Im hitriach ol b'yoser. But if the client is too bothersome to the patron, who omer ashkach plon to come matru chali, then he'll tell the people around him, go find that guy. He's being matriach on me. He's being a bother. He's being a bother to me. In other words, I don't want to see him anymore. Avala kodesh bohu ain't a kin, but Hashem is not like that. The more you matriach, the more you bother Hashem with your request, the more He accepts them. So this is, in other words, another meaning we said before, the kim krovim, and we said that it means that Hashem, even though the word krovim is plural, and the minim use that as an excuse to say that there's a multiplicity of gods, and really what it means is that Hashem is close to us in every possible way of closeness. So here's, and this is what brought us into this whole thing about the patron and the patron. So now is another point, another way of closeness is that Hashem never gets impatient with the number of times that you plead with Him. Hahu dichtiv, thus the pasuk says, Hashlech al Hashem Yehovcha, throw your burden on Hashem, v'hu yechal kalecha, and He will support you, as opposed to a boss of a dumb, you keep on throwing your burden on Him, eventually He's going to say, I can't be bothered with you anymore. Then Pinchas b'shem Reb Tanchum b'chani lo yomer. Boss of Adam yeshle patron. Again, consider a boss of Adam who has this patron. Ubo soinim v'tofsu oisal pesach chatzelu shapatronei. Imagine that his enemies come and grab him and arrest him right in front of the entrance of the courtyard of his patron. Ad b'tzavach lei. So by the time the guy needs to scream out for the patron to come out, ad b'hu nofik, and then by the time the patron comes out, already the sword has already gone onto his neck, and killed him. So in other words, even if the patron is ready to jump up at a moment's notice, it still takes a certain amount of time to call out for him and for him to respond, and meanwhile already the guy can be dead. On the other hand, we see how Hashem saved Yehoshaphat from the swords of the army of Aram. So you have the story. The story is in is at the end of Malachim Aleph and also in Divrei Yomim. Achav is going to war against Aram. He gets Yehoshaphat to agree to accompany him and bring his army along. Achav is told in Nevuah that he's going to be killed in battle and everybody else is going to come home safely. So Achav decides to disguise himself so this way the Arami soldiers won't know who he is. Meanwhile, Yehoshaphat, he tells you, may as well wear your royal robes. There's no Gzeirah min Hashamayim on you. So now the Pasuk describes that the Arami soldiers at one point saw Yehoshaphat and they thought he must be Achav because he's the only one on the battlefield in royal robes. So they didn't realize maybe that Achav was disguised. So they thought that he's Achav. And the Pasuk says, Vayizak Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat screamed out, Vashem Azore, and Hashem helped him. Now, in Poshtep chat, you could say it means he screamed for his men to come and help him. But the Gemara is understanding that the screaming is that he cried out to Hashem. Of Hashem Azore, and Hashem helped him, by Yisisem Alekim Mimenu, and Hashem convinced them to go away from him, by Yisisem, like Mesis Umadiach, like Hashem tricked them, so to speak, to go away from him. In other words, so what happened? All he was missing at this point was for his head to be chopped off. They already had those swords on his neck. And yet, Hashem put it into their mind that after all, wait, this isn't Achav. We're not supposed to be going for him. We're supposed to be because you have over there in Pesukim also, the king of Aram, Ben-Hadad, tells them, I want you to only be gunning for Achav, nobody else. So as soon as they realize it's Yehoshaphat, then they leave him alone. But like this, the sword was already on his neck. Eitz Yosef points out that if it just meant that Hashem made them stay away from him, then all it needs to say is Vayeshuvu me'achrav. They saw that it's not Melech Yisrael, and they turned away from him. Where when we're saying first Vayizak Yehoshaphat, first it says Vashem Azorah, Hashem helped him, and then Vayisisim alekim mimenu. So it's two different things. First, that Hashem prevented their swords from chopping off his head, and then that Hashem made them realize, hey, this isn't Achav. Let's leave him alone. By the way, you have the famous Gemara. We had it in earlier in Bavli and Brachas a few months ago when Chizkiyahu says to Yeshaya, he says, I have the Kabbalah from my ancestors that afilo cherev chada munachas atzavar shalodim, even if there's a sharp sword on a person's neck, you should never give up. This is the example that Chizkiyahu learned it from. The sharp sword is already on Yehoshaphat's neck, Yehoshaphat being an ancestor of Chizkiyahu, and yet the Eibush to say. Because there the difference is that so there you have Hashem turned Moshe's neck to marble. But in other words, there the Mefarshim on Yerushalmi point out that the difference is actually Eitz Yosef says it over here rather that the difference is over there Moshe knew in advance that he is in danger. He had plenty of time to daven to Hashem before it actually got to the point of a sword being put on his neck. Here it all happened within a couple of seconds. Yehoshaphat didn't even have time until the sword is already on his neck, and then he's first screaming out to Hashem, and yet Hashem saved him. So that's the exact equivalent, we're saying, the exact parallel to this case where a person is standing right in front of his patron's door, and then his enemies set on him and then are pressing a sword to his neck. The Gemara continues. Rab Ze'era Breid Rababohu, Rababohu B'Shem Rabalozer, they have another drasha related to this. The Pasuk says, Ashrei Shekel Yaakov Be'ezri V'Bema, happy is the person, fortunate is the person that the God of Yaakov is his helper. Maksi Basre, and what does it say? The next Pasuk says, Oseh Shemayim Ve'aretz V'Bema, Hashem makes the heavens and the earth. V'chima'inin Zelozeh, what does one have to do with the other? What does the fact that Hashem helps a person have to do with the fact that he's Oseh Shemayim Ve'aretz? So what it means is, Ella, the connection is like this, rather. boss of Adam Yeshle Patron. Even a boss of Adam has this human patron. Maybe maximum this patron rules over one particular territory. I know a hifrachia means like one particular province or something. But he doesn't rule over a different province. So if you happen to be in another province and you're in trouble, the fact that your patron is the ruler of the other province is not going to help. Afilo tema kosmoklotter, and even if you're going to say that your patron is the all powerful, the one who rules over the entire world, cosmos, like in English you have the word cosmos, which means the entire world or the entire universe. Klotter comes from a word that means a ruler. It's related to words like in English you have democracy and other such words like that mean to rule. So even if you have a Moshe B'Kippur, your patron is the emperor B'Chvoido of Atzma, and he rules over the whole known world. Still, Sholet B'Yabasha, he rules over the dry land. Shema Sholet B'Yam, does he also rule over the sea? If you're in trouble on the sea, if your boat is in a storm, he can't help you over there. Hashem rules over the sea and over the earth. And he can save a person who's in the water from the water, and on dry land from the fire. Again, like we said before, he saved Moshe from Pare's sword, hitzelos Yona Mameadoga, and he saved Yona from the belly of a fish, Hanani Mishal Bazayim Kivshana Esh, and saved them from the fiery furnace, the Daniel Migoivaroyas, Ahu Dichtiv. Thus, that same capital continues that Hashem makes heaven and earth, the sea and everything that's in it, in order to stress that. So you have, when you depend on Hashem, you're much better off than you are depending on any boss of Adam, because Hashem's rulership over everything is absolute, whereas even the emperor is not.
Any difference in these people were also thinking when they were saved, as opposed to normal people do get burnt up in the kitchen.
Well, obviously, right. I mean, but the point is that we see that when a person makes himself to be as much as possible, as close as possible to Hashem, then Hashem, you know, listen, even with this patron relationship that we're talking about over here, you know, even if you as the client still have to fulfill your obligations to the patron. If not, then, you know, the guy's going to say, what do I need you for anyway? So there's no question you have to do that. But what we're saying is, even if you do everything that you're supposed to, the patron may be busy, or he might not be available, or he might not have the power to do something, whereas the Eibishter is not like that. Yet. The Gemara continues, Reb Shimon ben Lakishama, Bos of Adam yesh lekarev. Here's another way of looking at it. A Bos of Adam has a relative. Imhu Oshir, if that relative is rich, who moidabai, then the relative is happy to say, he admits, this guy is my relative. But if the other guy is poor, then the relative is likely to say, I don't know this guy, I'm not related to him. Hashem is not like that. Even the Jewish people are at the lowest level. Hashem still calls the Jewish people every year my brothers and my friends. And what pasuk expresses that? We have the pasuk uman achai v'reya. So our Kosev discusses over here. So in the context of that capital, how do we see that Laman Achai V'Rei is Hashem talking about the Jewish people? I mean, on the face of it, it's Shir HaMalos LeDavid, Samachti Ba'omim LeBeis Hashem Neilech, and continuing from there, where do we get any idea that Laman Achai V'Rei is Hashem speaking of the Jewish people? And so he explains like this. We have at the beginning of the Yerushalmi Brachas, we have the part where it's said over there that the leitzim of David HaMelech's times are saying to David, Beis Hashem Neilech, come on, we want to already go to the house of Hashem, but really they're doing it in order to make fun of David, knowing the Beis HaMikdash can't be built as long as David is alive. So in effect, they're saying, David, we can't wait till you die, and then we'll have the Beis HaMikdash. And David says over there in the Gemara that I don't mind that, because the fact is they are at least, I'm happy that at least they're saying Beis Hashem Neilech. So now, HaKosev explains that the continuation, the following psukim, is that the Ksherim Shabador, the good people, are answering these leitzim. They're saying, Oimnes Hoyer Agrenu, Yerushalayim Abnuya, etc. They're saying, don't be asking for the Beis HaMikdash to be built in order to use it as an excuse to mock David. Ask for it because you really want that the Beis HaMikdash should be built. And then Hashem, when Hashem hears the Ksherim and talking like that, they genuinely want the Beis HaMikdash to be built and everything, then Hashem replies and says, and he continues, Laman Achai V'Rei, for the sake of the Jewish people, who, as the Gemara is saying over here, my brothers and my friends, Adabran HaShalom Bof. And then where the mechaber of the mizmer, the author of the kapitel, finishes off the man beis Hashem alekeinu avak shetov lach, for the sake of the house of Hashem is why I'm looking for the good of the Jewish people. So not the way these leitzim do, but for the real reason, because we really genuinely want the beis mikdash. So therefore it comes out that the Yehi Shalom Bechelech and Laman Achaberayoi, he says, is Hashem speaking to the Jewish people because he's happy to hear what the Kshedim Shabbadur say. So therefore, that fits with our Gemara over here, that Hashem is calling every Yid, Achaberayoi. Then the Gemara continues, Rab Ovun, Rab Achav, Rab Shimon Lakish, they all say, another example, Bas of Adam Yashle Karev, a Bas of Adam has a relative, Im Hoya Pulus Sufus, if the relative is a wise man, like a good philosopher in English, who Omer Hahen Plan Miskarevlan, then he's proud to say that guy is a relative of mine. He's saying, you should know how close I am with him. But if he's not so wise, then you don't want to have anything to do with him. Hashem calls all the Jewish people, the close ones and the relatives to him. Hashem lifted up the strength of his people. Praise for all his chassidim. I'm for the Jewish people, his close nation. So Akosif explains that you have like this, the previous psukim talk about you have malchei eretz v'chol l'umim, sorim v'chol shoftei eretz, all these high-ranking people. But Hashem is saying, I don't care about the high ranks. What's important is a person, a chosid, they have the closest relationship at all of Hashem. They sit in the front and their nenem is Ivashchina. Everybody else, they may not be on that level, but nevertheless they're kroivim. Nevertheless, they're closer to me than all those other kings and princes and noblemen and what have you that are out there. The end of the last Mishnah in Brachos talks about a number of takonis of the Chachamim. One of them that you should greet each other with the name of Hashem. We talked about it in the Bavli at the end of Brachos that, for example, we are Makayim that nowadays by saying Shalom Aleichem because Shalom is the name of Hashem. And in that connection, the Mishnah brings a pasuk, Al Tovuz Ki Zakna Imecha. Don't mock because your mother is old. So in context to the Mishnah, it means, in other words, that don't look down on the things, like, for example, we find in the Pasuk over there that Boaz says to his workers, Hashem Yimachem, and they answer him, Yivarech Hashem. So you're going to say, that's old times. That's old-fashioned stuff. We don't have to do that nowadays. No, don't think that way. Instead, respect what your elders did in previous generations. So now the Gemara is bringing another drasha, or two other drashas, on that Pasuk, Al Tovuz Ki Zakna Yimecha. If words of Torah are old in your mouth, in other words, you've learned them again and again, and you know them inside and out, don't look down on them and say, I don't really need to delve into them anymore. I know them perfectly. Matam al tovuz kizak neimecha, because you can learn that from that passage. The Torah can be compared to our mother. Because we get our energy and we get our nourishment from the Torah the way that a baby gets his nourishment from his mother. And the Torah, so to speak, like the Torah gave birth to us, like a mother gives birth to her children. And Reb Ze'ira says another meaning, Im nizdakna umasecha, we can also darshin imecha meloshen umasecha, your nation, if you see that your nation is getting old in a certain mitzvah. In other words, they're getting like an old person becomes weak in many different areas, in many different ways. So if you see that people are weakening and slackening in a certain mitzvah, amoid begoyva, then go and fence that in and make, in other words, work to strengthen the performance of that mitzvah. Kishem sha'asa Okana, just as we find that Okana, Shmuel's father, did, shoya madrichas Yisrael l'pamei regolim. He would instruct the Jewish people to go on aliyah l'regel. Ahu dichtiv, thus the Pasuk says, v'ola isha hu me'irei regolim, the Pasuk says, that man, Elkana, would go up from a city to Shiloh. Now the point is, why does he say he went from a city? Where else would he be going from? The point is, every time he's starting out from the same place, his city, but every time he's going on a different route to Shiloh. And that way, so on the way, then he would be encouraging people to join in this mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel. the Medrash, in fact, says on it. Every year, they'd be going on a different route. So they'd be camping in the town square over there, and everybody would be curious. And Elkanah would tell them that we're going to the Mishkan, and other people would say to themselves, you know what, we should really be doing the same thing also. They're takeh as a mitzvah to do that. And in that way, Elkanah brought about over time that there was a tremendous hisodorus in this mitzvah, which until now people have been slacking off on.
The places that he visited in the past, would they go by themselves at this point?
That's the point. In other words, once he went, then they would encourage them. So now they're going, and now he can go to other places and keep on encouraging them. Yeah. The end of the Mishnah. Okay, I guess we'll leave this. We'll leave this for tomorrow, Beis Hashem. Wait, 6:20. We have time. Yeah. Hard to remember when we switch from, yeah. Okay.
When you say the word Hashem Yibachem, is it a problem just to say Hashem's name because you may not finish the puzzle?
So there's actually an interesting point they say on that when you're greeting a fellow Yid, then that itself is a bread that helps you have Arichos Yomim. Therefore, there's no concern that after he says Hashem, he's going to die, and therefore he can say Hashem first. When they're responding to him, yeah, they have to say Hashem second, therefore they say Yivarach Hashem. Okay. The end of the Mishnah had quoted the pasuk "Eis lasis laHashem efeder Torasecha." It's a time to do for Hashem. They have violated your Torah, and we learned in the Bavli a couple of different ways of explaining that pasuk. It means, for example, that there's a time when we have to override the Torah in order to save it. For example, Eliyahu bar HaKamel. It means, for example, that when people are violating the Torah, Hashem will take care of them in His good time, and so. So the Gemara says, Rav Nosson Masaris Kroy, Rav Nosson would flip around the pasuk and learn it. In fact, Mishnah also has that he quoted, Hefeiro Torah Secha Eis Lasis. They break your Torah when it's a time to do for Hashem, which is, for example, the Yehu Bar HaKamel bringing korbanos at a time like that, even though it was illegal, because it was in order to uphold the Torah. And the Gemara continues, other meanings of that pasuk, Eis lasis laHashem efeder Torasecha, Reb Chilkiya b'shem Reb Simon, ha'oisa terose itim, if a person makes his Torah only a thing bounded by time, so he's not learning Torah constantly, he's only kevei itim ha'Torah, ha'reza mefer bris, then he's violating the covenant of Torah, my time, because again, they have the pasuk, efeder Torasecha, Eis lasis laHashem. We can understand that when you make an ace, when you make a time for learning Torah rather than learning it full time, then that's hefeder Torasecha. In a certain sense, it's violating the Torah. Now, Eitz Yosef points out, we have in the Bavli, in the Bavli in Brachas, we had a machloikas, Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon about that point. Rabbi Shimon says a person tak has to be learning Torah full time, and as far as the malacha that has to be done, that will be accomplished al yedei achirim. And Rabbi Shmuel says that you have to do your regular field work or other things like that, set aside time for Torah. And the Gemara says most people have to follow Rabbi Shmuel. So now Rabbi Chilkiya then is disagreeing with Rabbi Shmuel and following Rabbi Shimon's shita that you have to be learning Torah full time. Tony, and we learn in a brisa, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochoyim, Imra Ises Abrias Yenistiash Yudayim and Torah Ma'od. If you see that people are giving up on Torah and they're not interested in learning Torah, then you should stand up and strengthen very much in Torah, and you will get a schar equal to all of them. Why equal to all of them? Eitz Yosef points out, look, everybody else is looking down on mitzvahs and saying it's not important. You're not only doing them, but you're not listening to what those people are doing either, are saying either, therefore you deserve a much greater schar. My time, here's another meaning of Hefeira Torah Secha, Eis Lasis LaHashem, at a time when they are violating your Torah, is an extra time to do on behalf of Hashem, and you get a much greater sky of that. So the Gemara continues, Hillel Azokin Omer, we have this in the Bavli as well, that Hillel Azokin used to say, B'shah D'machanshin Bader, when the people are gathered together, then you scatter. So meaning, in other words, when the Chachmei Ador are keeping their Torah on the inside, they're not spreading it out to the Olam, then you should go and spread it out, your Chutzah minus Secha Chutzah, and go spread Torah out to the public because they're not doing it. But when the Chachmei Ador themselves are spreading Torah far and wide, Knosh, then you can hold it back because you are not on the level to be competing with them as far as spreading Torah. And also, it's the same way. Hillel used to say, "Imra ises a Torah shechaviva al Yisrael va'akol smechim ba." If you see that the Torah is precious to the Jewish people and everybody is happy to learn it, badu, then spread it out. Do afotzes amayonis, because since Torah is being appreciated, then by all means spread it out as widely as possible so the people will learn it. Vim lav knosh, and if not, then hold it back, because otherwise it's just going to end up that people are going to be making a bizoyim. So then, in other words, then, for example, you only teach to a select circle or whatever. Amar Rabbi Elazar, so now continuing on this topic of the importance of learning Torah all the time, Amar Rabbi Elazar, ma hatinik azet tzorech linek b'chol shah shebayayim, just like a baby needs to nurse every hour of the day, kachol adam shebi yisrael tzorech ligo b'torah b'chol shah shebayayim. The same way, a yid has to be working hard, has to be making effort in learning Torah throughout all the hours of the day. So this goes back to what Reb Simonon said, that it's not just enough to have itim watorda, you have to have more than that. Reb Yoina b'shem Reb Yosi ben Gzura, kol pitataya bishin, all kinds of pitataya, which means like talking too much. Literally, the word pitataya means like birds twittering. So all kinds of talking a lot. Bishin is bad, or pitataya d'orais of tovin, but a lot of talking in Torah is good. Usually we say siyog l'choch mashsika and et loy matzasi l'guf toy mashsika, but when it comes to Torah, it's not like that. The more divrei Torah that you talk is good. And similarly, kol pidvaya tovin, similarly, all kidvaya, which usually means lies, are good. The kidvaya, darai submission, but lies in Torah are bad. Now, what would that mean? So first of all, Hakosev says, Hakosev brings a girsa, it's not kidvaya, but rather birkaya, which means knees. So then it would mean kneeling. So when a person is kneeling in Mili D'Alma, he says somebody else wants something from him in Gashmius, and he's willing to forego it. He's willing to be nichna and to humble himself before the other person. Good, but not with Divrei Torah. Instead, a person has to stick to what the Torah says and not hold there. You have to have a yigbal libe b'darach Hashem. In other words, you have to have that you're proud of being a yid, and you're proud of that you're following in the ways of the Torah, and you're not going to give in to those who say otherwise. On the other hand, Eitz Yosef says that actually it should be the other way around. Kol kidvaya bishin, all lies are bad, but you're not supposed to lie. But lies in Torah are good, meaning, as the Gemara tells us, as the Bavli tells us in Bava Metzia, that Tamid Chachamim, when it comes to you ask a Tamid Chacham, are you familiar with a certain Masechta? Then he'll say no, even if he is, mitzad anivus. And similarly, you ask him if he slept on a certain bed, he'll say no, because there might be keri in it, and you have a ushpiza you have over there. So those kinds of things, then we're saying that those are considered good. Those are good for a Tamid Chacham to lie or to bend the truth about. Hakosev brings there's a marginal note in Hakosev that says another possibility. You could say maybe the word kidvaya means interrupting. So interrupting anything else is good, but interrupting Torah is bad, because that's what we're saying. You're supposed to be learning Torah constantly. One more possibility actually might be, sometimes we... What? Right, that's what we're saying. You know, we're talking about for Yechidah Skula, but in other words, that's the level that a person should be aspiring to. But another possibility, as far as this kidvaya, is sometimes you actually have things in Torah that turn out to be incorrect. You have a havamina that turns out to be incorrect. Sometimes even the Gemara will say about something bedusa, it's fiction, but nevertheless, it's still, because it's part of Torah, then if you use the girsa kidvaya deraisa tovin, then it means fakir, because they're part of Torah, even though maybe the Torah itself characterizes them as incorrect, nevertheless, they're still part of Torah, and therefore, ultimately, they're good. There's an expression of Levi Yitzchak that his father says about that, for example, that you have these things that the Gemara says on the Bedusa, the same Chochmose Ritzon Inshallah Kodesh Baruch who says these ideas, and the same Chochmose Ritzon Inshallah Kodesh Baruch who tells us that on the other hand, we should consider them Bedusa and not actually follow them Mahalach. Okay, Yom Yem Mashiach Ugo'ola, Chof Zayin Shvat. You have the concept of Malava Malka. So Al Derech HaDrush, you have the Beis Yosef writes, there's a certain organ in the body which doesn't enjoy any of a person's food, only on Mitzvah Shabbos. So that means you have an advantage to Malava Malka that you don't have in the Shabbos Suda, because after all, that Etzem Lu is only enjoys from the Malava Malka. Why is that? Because in the Yoru Rabba, it explains that that didn't have Hanar from the Eitz Hadas. So therefore, and since the Eitz Hadas took place on Erev Shabbos, so therefore it never, so therefore it's never destroyed because the whole concept of death came because of the Eitz Hadas. So therefore the Etzem Lulz didn't have from the Eitz Hadas, therefore it's higher than death, and that's what the body will be rebuilt from by Tchias Mesim. So that's the inner concept of a Malava Malka, is to fix up the Chet Eitz Hadas. Today was Chav Zayin, wasn't it? Today's Chavfes. Oh, you're right. Oops. Okay. You're right. Okay. All right. Chavfes Shvat then. So before, another thing about the Eitz Hadas, in Yemos Mashiach, the avoda of Bnei Yisrael in separating out good from bad will be completed and will reach the Shlemos that we had before the Chet Eitz Hadas. Okay, halacha real quick. We're starting halachas of Simen Nun Hei, halachas of which bracha comes before which one. So if a person has a lot of payers in front of him and he wants to eat all of them, if they all have the same bracha, then you say the bracha on the one which is chaviv, the one which you like the best. And the Alter Rebbe adds, even if it's something that most of the time you like it just right now, you don't have the, you're not in the mood for it, or vice versa, then also whichever one you want right now, or whichever one you usually want, is the one that you would say the bracha. And then we'll talk about next time what happens if both of them are equally chaviv.